quick here. Take your Bibles, and if you would, and go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Thank you for coming out on a Thursday. I'm glad that the weather is better than the last few times that I've been through this area this time of year. Am I good to go? There we go. It's good to, I was thinking of looking up there at Charles singing in the, almost said the nursery, Charles singing in the choir and Brother Fryer up there about when I used to sing in a choir next to them. And I don't know how much Skip appreciated that, because I used to, you know, cut up and carry on, because there's not a whole lot to do up there if it's not your time to sing. And then I look out there and I see Jessica. You may know her from here, but I remember, I mean, I was brand new to Slippery Rock Baptist Church, and we actually started the first bus routes there and Vacation Bible School, and we didn't have any school bus drivers, and Jessica and her girls came and found out she had a CDL, and I said, guess what, you're hired. She's probably still waiting to get paid, but the... And getting to know and looking out and seeing her out there, the ministry is a lot of fun, man. I appreciate the ministry. I appreciate the family of God. It's much bigger than you know. I'm thankful that I was up in the D.C. area in a church there on Sunday. Great guy right outside the Beltway. You can just go a few blocks and almost see the Washington Monument. I don't know if I'd want to live there because it's kind of a crazy place. The week before that, I was in another church just down the road from them in Hunt Valley, Maryland. And just all over, there's God still has a remnant of people that love Him. America isn't what it used to be. But we still have an army out there. It's not over yet, and it's just nice to be a part of that. What we're going to look at tonight is so last night I wasn't planning on preaching that message. I was going to preach this one, and then when I saw his theme, I thought, well, I cannot not preach a message on faith when that's your theme, and I really believe that's what God wanted, because it gives a good jumping point from there. Because once you begin to analyze, do I believe this? All right. If I believe this to be true, and if I believe that God said it, Pastor and I were just talking out in the lobby again about whether or not He's going to bring up all of our bad stuff in front of everybody. And that's always a fun conversation. Why do we even have that conversation? Because nobody likes the thought of that happening, correct? Well, we're uncomfortable with that. But if you think about that if God knows, what do I care if He knows, you know? I mean, God already knows. And whether or not that's going to happen, it doesn't really matter. But it's neat to think about this, that I do believe we are going to stand in front of Him. How that plays out, who knows? Just that thought in of itself is a little bit apprehensive if you stop and think about it. You're going to be by yourself. Mrs. Pease, you're not going to be able to elbow past her and go, see, told you. You know, I mean, you're not going to be able to pull an Eve and say, well, that man, I mean, it's going to be individually. You know, even if, here's something, if you're 15 and 14 years old in this room, and 12 years old, and you're the age of accountability, you're standing there without your parents in front of God. We won't even let you drive. And you're going to stand in front of God on your own. Well, you start thinking about that stuff, and you start thinking, man, that's real. And I really believe that's going to happen. Well, I should then do X, Y, Z because of that, right? Okay, I mean, that would just be common sense. Well, we're going to follow that a little bit more tonight and just look at some of these things. Okay, if we know that this is going to happen, you're going to stand in front of God one day and give an account. First off, number one, make sure you're saved. I mean, that's a no-brainer. This is a Thursday night missions conference. Okay, I'm probably 99.999% of everybody's in this room, but listen, absolutely get that right. Okay? I mean, you don't want to get that wrong and miss that. And be wrong about too many people. Well, you know, I've had a discussion with God. Him and I made an agreement. You know, you ever heard that before? We've got a deal. I'm thinking, you obviously don't know the same God I know in the Bible. You're making a deal with somebody who, he has no reason to make a deal with us. You only make a deal that benefits both parties. Nothing benefits this with God. Why would he, pastor, make a deal with me? What's he going to get out of it? Me? You know, it's not going to be much of a deal, right? So as we look at these things, I'm going to just read some verses. And I just want you to answer this. Truth? False. Here's the first one. Hebrews chapter 9. Find that, we'll pray, okay, because I don't want to forget to do that. Father, thank you for your word. I pray you just help us as we just have some time around your word this evening. Lord, that there's no way in the world I can get these people to even remotely do anything that they're already not doing, because they're already very faithful. They love you. Lord, I could sit and listen to them and learn. But together as a group of people that just are interested in pleasing you because we love you, we sit around your word tonight. Would you help us understand who you are to the point where it's just not words, but actually something that we can take and do something with it? We love you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. All right, so Hebrews 9:27, okay, says, And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. True or false? Do you believe that? Okay, not only does this verse talk about the fact that of your mortality, that we're going to die. You're going to die. I'm going to die. It's really not something we should be shocked about it when it happens, because he told us, you know, it's absolutely inevitable outside of the rapture. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to me. Now, I don't know how it's going to happen, whether it's going to be instantaneous or I'm going to have to go the hard road. I don't know any of those. I just know I'm going to die. There's going to be an end to me living on this planet. Now, just that thought, if you believe that, even if you're not a Christian, okay, remove God from that particular part. If you just believe that part of it, which every human being, even an atheist, you're going to die. All right? Since you're going to die, would you agree with me life's precious? Yes or no? True or false? True. Okay? Based on that, there should not be an argument in any home over the next week. Because why would you waste that precious time that you already know will one day end over something that doesn't matter? If you really believe and are cognizant of the fact that this is limited, you're going to die, and it's over, then life becomes very valuable. And if something's valuable, you treat it that way. You have respect for it. You don't waste it, right? Then the next part of that goes, not only are you going to die once you get that over with, then it says, and then there's judgment. Great. You know, there's something worse than death, because it comes after death, right? Okay? All right. You might think, man, could you ever wonder how you're going to go? You know, I mean, I think about that every time I get on an airplane, and it's, you know, well, I'm just telling you, 30,000 feet and you're flying over the Atlantic Ocean for 7 hours, things happen. You know, it's the end. You know, I mean, if that thing goes, I mean, you're just going to have to deal with it, right? I've been trying to think I'm going to just start doing the wave, everybody. You know, well, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it, you know? So, but then after you get that journey over with, okay, and we know as a Christian, it's not something we need to fear, because when Lazarus died, it seemed like he got an escort, right? So we've got that to count on. You know, there was a book written years back. It's called The Dying Testimonies of the Saved and Unsaved. It's probably a good 90 years old, 80 years old. You can't write that book anymore because everybody gets medicated before you die. Well, back then they had testimonies and people would say, I see the light. Or they'll say, do you see him? Oh, it's so beautiful. And then you hear somebody that's not saved, like Nostradamus or whatever you say his name, die. I mean, my feet are burning. That you don't want to hear. You know, or get him away, get him away. There are absolutely two testimonies on people's deathbed. You either have a testimony of seeing something that it makes you smile and happy, or something that drives fear inside of you. Well, you get that done, then the judgment. Well, that's when God asks me to give an account of the life he gave me. Is he just in doing so? True, yes or no? He made me, right? He made me. So he is in charge of doing that. So I now have to give an account to him. And let's not necessarily talk about the bad things we did. Let's just talk about the things you did, period. I am now going to have to give an account of the life he gave me and what I did with it. And I'm going to have to do that to the creator universe who knows everything. So making an excuse for things, that's futile. You're not going to win that. It's just going to sound lame. So let's go on to another verse. Take your Bibles and go to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. I picked on him last night. Andrew, can you read that? Or Christian, read that nice and loud for me. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Would you do that really quick? Okay, so that verse says, it encompasses dying, but it also covers the fact other things can happen other than dying. Okay? You can lose everything. Things can change very fast in our circumstances, right? I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring forth. I can't go into tomorrow with this great amount of confidence because tomorrow might change. And since that's something I can't count on, I just have to deal with today. Wait till tomorrow when it comes and deal with tomorrow. Because if I start getting comfortable that way, tomorrow could change. Plans could change. The whole thing could be upside down. So therefore, I can't count on that. I just got to deal with today. So we know we're going to die. We know we've got to give an account. We're not even talking about bad things, just life in general. My health, all the things he's given us, all that put together, I've got to give an account of that. I can't count on tomorrow, nor should I boast on that, because that can change. All right, so now let's go to another. Go to Matthew, okay, and go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And look at verse 19. Is that it? Okay. It says this. Here's Paul talking here. It says, lay not up. Paul's not talking. Jesus is talking. Okay. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. So Jesus is talking and he's giving this advice. Is this good advice? Yes or no? And who's giving it? Okay, so he knows what's on the other side. Pastor, you give me this advice, and you say, Dave, lay up your treasures in heaven. Okay, that's still good advice, but he doesn't know what's on the other side or what that means, right? Okay, Jesus is giving this advice. He knows what it means. He knows where the bank is in heaven. He knows how you make a deposit in that bank account. He knows how much money you have in that bank account. He knows the last time you made a deposit in that bank account. Okay? So here's what he's saying. You want some good advice about the kingdom you're going to live in? That's my kingdom? Here's some advice to you. Lay up your treasures in heaven. where moth and rust doesn't corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. All right? It says, don't lay up treasures here on earth, verse 20, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in through nor steal. Now look at this here, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay? So God knows this, that attached to who I am, the things that I spend my time thinking about, the thing that I spend my efforts on, those are important to me. And he said that where my treasures are, that's where my heart's going to be. Okay? Can you honestly say in your heart today that the things that you care most about, the things that you've been involved that mean more to you than anything in the world, are actually things that are locked up in a vault in heaven? Because the Bible says that where your treasures are, that's where your heart is. And Jesus said, if you want to be wise, if you want to be ready for the day that you're going to die and stand in front of me, then I would suggest that you invest in something that's much bigger than this. That you invest in eternity. And if you do that, then I know where your heart was all along. So as you think about that, I want you to go to, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 20. I won't be far from here. 2 Kings 20. I actually just got two more places we're going to look at. 2 Kings chapter 20. And this is Hezekiah. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah said, the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. I mean, you know what's kind? God gave him the heads up. You know, he could have just snapped him right out of there. God gave him heads up. So it says here, you know, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. So he finds out he's going to die. And when he finds out he's going to die, he goes to God and he mentions, I did this and I did that and I did this. And he's crying and he's begging God. And God answers that prayer. And God gives him 15 more years. Now, that's great. Now, I don't think it's wrong to pray. If you get sick, I don't think it's wrong to pray that, you know, God heal me and God, if this is your will, I think that's completely fine. I just think his attitude is a little bit of a crybaby because you know you're going to die. I remember when Ronald Reagan died. Ronald Reagan was 90 years old. Nancy got on the television and said, we need to find a cure for Alzheimer's. You know, we've got to stop people from dying from Alzheimer's. I'm like, he's 90-some years old. It's like that story in the Bible. You run away from the bear, and you run away from the lion, you lean against the wall, and a snake bites you. What do you expect at 90? He told me he was his 40s, and, you know, I mean, 90-some years old, I'm thinking, hey, why life well lived, you know? How long do you expect this to go on for? Well, so he's going to die. And he says to God, please, let me live. It talks about, I did this for you and I did that for you. Let me live. God gives him 15 years. Read what he does with those 15 years. When I read what he did with those 15 years, he didn't do anything with them. And when you talk about his accomplishments, moments from there, he keeps talking about himself. Not only did he not do anything that would be like, wow, on the map, if you got 15 more years and you're the king, he allowed the people from Babylonian, they came over to visit him. When they came over to visit him, he took them around his kingdom. So now he's got a new lease on life. He's got 15 more years. He's taking them around the kingdom. You know what he's doing? Hey, look at what I built. Look what I did. I mean, read that list. This is what these are my treasures. I got this from this war. I got this from this place. This is what he's doing with these 15 years that he got from the Lord. And then Isaiah came to him and said, who are these people? Oh, no, they're visiting from Babylonia. Well, what'd you show them? And he said, well, I showed him everything in my palace. And Isaiah said, you know, that's the enemy. And because you did that, everything in this thing that you care about, they're going to come and take it. And do you know what? I was talking about Pastor this. And you know what he said? As long as it happens after I'm dead, I'm not making that up. Read it. He said, there's going to be war. He said, long as it's thought in my lifetime, well, that's real great. So, if you had to vote whether or not Hezekiah were to get another 15 years, would you vote thumbs up or thumbs down on that one? Okay? All right. How many of you would give him another 15 years? Anybody do? How many would go this for Hezekiah? Well, was that an investment you want to invest in? Okay, if you're God and you're in charge of who gets another 15 years, are you overly excited about that investment? No. Okay, and if we had to be his judge and jury today, would you give him those 15 years knowing what he was going to do in the past? Would you vote yes? No, you'd be like, doesn't seem like you did anything substantial with the fact that you got these extra 15 years, right? Okay. Let's go look at this. So, from there, go to go to Philippians chapter 1. Do that first. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19. Philippians 1, verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Do you notice Paul's not saying, I did this and I did that? And you know what he's saying? He's saying, as always, my goal is this, that Christ be magnified. Okay? It says that Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by my life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He's saying, every day I live as an opportunity to do something for Christ. If I die, I gain. That's when I cash in. That's when it gets better for me. He doesn't say, this is when the end of everything good is. He says, on that day, I gain. Totally different from Hezekiah in there acting like a baby. God, give me 15 years, gets 15 years, doesn't do anything with them. Frets about it. And here, Paul is facing the very same thing. Look at his attitude. Different attitude. For me to live is Christ. Okay? We don't want to jump out in front of a bus tomorrow. Tomorrow's an opportunity to live for Christ. It's an opportunity. Why should I have another day tomorrow so I can magnify Christ? Other than that, let's get out of here. What's the purpose? Okay? If we're here to magnify Christ in our body. And then when I die, home free. For the first time in my life, no responsibility. I'm going to get a new body. I'm not going to be struggling with right and wrong anymore. I'm going to be able to see the nail prints in his hands. I'll be able to go find my grandma. Why in the world are we fretting over that? I mean, that is, other than the dying thing, that's how we get out of here. You know, that's a good thing. But look at Paul's attitude about it. Paul's attitude is totally different than Hezekiah's attitude about it. You know, and it goes on to say this. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. So he's having a hard time. Do I want to stay here or do I want to go? How many people have you been around somebody like that? I mean, we're trying to hold on. You know, trying to hold on for dear life. Well, I don't think he was suicidal. He was just locked into something different. Now, to be fair, I don't know at what point in his pastor would know. He did have that experience outside of the body, okay? And he didn't know if he was in heaven or not. Maybe that did something to him because he got a little glimpse. But he's not trying to. Hezekiah is trying to hold on. You know, I don't want to go. And Paul's like, man, I don't know. I mean, I could go be with Jesus. Last time I was with Jesus, we spent 3 years in the desert. I kind of like that. I miss him. I wonder what he's doing. And to think that I might have the opportunity today to go see him, I'm struggling with that. If you were eating lunch with me, you'd say, Pastor, I'm struggling with that. Do I continue on, go on another boat and take another missionary journey? Or do I go home and see the Lord? And then he says this. He says, nevertheless, for I'm a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He says, man, I just want to go home. But I know that there is some value to me staying here. The value is not to me personally, but I can help you. Therefore, I'll hold on a little longer because I want to help you. And he does. And then when he goes home, he says this. When it's time, he says this. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished the course. And he said that there is laid up for him a crown. So, here's the thought. We believe that missions is important because God cares about people and we love the Lord. And there's nothing more than he cares about than somebody getting saved because he let Jesus die so that people could get saved. He cares about that. I have to say, I don't know if we always care about it like we should, but we do care for Jesus, right? Sometimes people get aggravating. Sometimes people, you're like, I don't know if that's worth it all the time, right? But would you say that he's worth it? Well, sure he is. And guess who he loves? People. He loves people. So we invest in that. Because we love him. So here's a question. Since we know that we're all going to die and we're going to stand in front of God, we don't want to, if God gives us 15 years, it would be a shame to get that. So I'm 49 on Sunday. 15 years from that would be what, Maggie? 64. So if I make it to 64, there better be something substantial for the kingdom that I can point to in those 15 years, or let's just pull the plug and get out of here. You know? Unless it counts. So here's the thing. Let's just make it count. so that on that day, when you meet him for the very first time, that he will say, let me show you where your heart is. And he walks over to the bank vault in heaven, and there's no dollars. What it is, it's a list and a history of all the things you did for him. That's why we do this. Because that's all we'll have. It's what's ever in there. And tomorrow, the best thing about tomorrow, if I get to tomorrow, I get a chance to put something else in that account. That's what I get to do tomorrow. And if I don't want to be disappointed on that day, or worry about that day, or be fearful of that day, the only thing that I can do to keep that from happening is to prepare for it now. Nothing happens accidental. Put some thought into it and say, I want to be prepared for the day that. Would you agree that there's some kind of account up there, right? Right? We all agree on that? There's some kind of, lay up your treasures in heaven. Where is he sticking it? There's got to be some sort of record keeping account or whatever, right? Well, on that day, you're going to be presented, I assume, at some point with a total. Well, what's in there? And if I don't want to be disappointed by something I cannot change at that moment, and I believe that everything we just talked about is true, then I need to be deliberate in my action from here forward and everything I do with a consciousness of that's why I'm doing it. But if you don't believe any of that's true, or you think it'll all come out in the wash, well, then don't be overly concerned about it. But if, like me, you think about that and go, I would rather not find out that I don't have much in there. And Jesus was kind enough to say to me, hey, Dave, come here. I'm going home. I'm going to give you a little advice. Don't live for down here. Here's a much better place. Lay up your treasures in heaven where you can't lose them. And I'll see you when you get there. And off he goes. Now we're here. And we all know people that have gone on. But you got something very valuable. At this very second, it's your life. And you can make it count. So, whether it's on that card or a ministry in the church, calling, knocking on your neighbor's door, vacation Bible school, a little cup of water given in my name to the least of these, he puts it in that account. If you look at it like that, that changes things. And if just this number of people would say, I'm going to do some financial planning for eternity, because that's just good advice. Can you imagine pastoring a group of people that take that to heart in everything you do? You do because of him. The resources you have, they are important. He's given everything to you, your health, your resources, your ability, all of those it's capital you can invest. And invest it to the one who gave it to you. Well, that's a home run. Because you get double dividends. I just thought about that. Not only are you going to get it in heaven, but guess what he said he's going to do for you down here? He's going to make sure you have what you need. Now, that only matters if we make that real. Now, the problem is, I feel pretty healthy. I'm thinking, well, what's the chances of me dying tomorrow? And then that's what's going to happen when you walk out that door. Well, let's try not to do that and say, okay, I have a rare moment where I get to just focus and look on eternity for just a minute with me standing in front of God, and it's judgment day. And I actually can do something about that now. We are very blessed to be able to look through that window through the knowledge of God and then do something about that. That's awesome that he lets us do that. If we don't do something with that, well, then we can't be overly surprised when we get there. Let's pray, and I'll turn it over to Pastor. Father, thank you. I pray that as we just walk through this and think about these are things that's not new. And certainly not to myself or anybody in this room. It's just whether or not we can grasp them enough to actually turn that into a meaningful action so that we're prepared on the day. You wanted us to be prepared. You would not have given us that statement, warned us, told us what it's going to be like. And then you give us this contrast of two people that were at the end of their life. One of them, both of them went on to live past that moment. Both of them got extra days. One of them went into it with not the world's greatest attitude and then didn't really do anything with what you gave them. Paul stayed on, took some more trips, planted some more churches, served you, and when you looked back at the life and the extra days you gave him, they were well spent and well worth the effort. And Father, you know when time's up for everybody in this room, you already know when each and every one of us will leave this earth and stand in front of you. Some, the number may be tomorrow and it may be way down the road, but you know what that is. And if we get tomorrow or the next year, may it be lived in such a manner that brings you honor and glory, where you're magnified and we appreciate the time you've given it, and that we on purpose do something with that for you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. We ask this in your precious name.